so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? But if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even that was made glorious had no glory in respect to this because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Covenant, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and you use it to discern, to reveal the thoughts and the intents of our hearts, Lord, to show that we might see what is really there, that we'd confess it, and that you could forgive and cleanse us, Lord, ultimately that you would be glorified, just as we sang, over our lives and in all the earth. That is our desire, Lord, that you would be glorified in all the earth this morning. And may that be the case in each of our hearts, personally, individually, and then as a church corporately, that we would be able to shine your glory into the darkness of this world, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people agreed, saying, amen. Amen. You can be seated. On Christmas Eve, I received a gift of a cold that is like the gift that just keeps on giving. And the only good thing, I was telling the worship team this morning, the only good thing about this gift is that it gives me the ability to do my Chuck Smith interpretation. So, now turn in your Bibles. When I have a cold, I can do that. Kay and I, we're down at South Coast. Amen. Do the whole service that way. I'll get in trouble, I'm sure. So, it's hard for me to come up with a better word than amazing when I consider the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And really, you know, I begin just about every time that I teach by saying God is good. And it really is with sincerity that I say that, because I recognize the goodness of God. And it is wonderful to consider how good God is. And the position that I am afforded as the lead pastor here at the church gives me the opportunity to see God's goodness in very tangible ways, week in and week out, throughout the year. Because I have the opportunity, having an oversight position, to know what's happening in every different ministry. There's a lot of different ministries happening within our church and as a result of our church in the community. And so I get feedback and reports back from people who are involved in the work of the ministry through our church, throughout Escondido and San Marcos and surrounding areas. And it's always a blessing just to consider the good things that God is doing and how our church is impacting our community, both locally and also to the ends of the earth. The Lord commanded that we are to go into all the world. And our church has had the privilege of fulfilling that commission in many ways. There's still obviously a lot of work that remains to be done, both in our community locally and to the ends of the earth, but he has allowed us to be a part of that work in such a wonderful way. And it's amazing to see God's hand in all of it. Because ultimately, if the Lord doesn't build the house, those who labor in vain. So if God is not in it, then we're just idly doing something that has no ultimate impact. Just as Gamaliel said, the great Jewish rabbi, when they were considering the work that was happening through the early church in the book of Acts, and And the religious leadership in Israel, they wanted to shut it down. They're very concerned by it because it didn't accord in their minds with what the scriptures said. But in fact, it was a fulfillment of the scriptures. And Gamaliel stands up and he says, listen, if this work is not of God, it'll fail. But if it is of God and you fight against it, you'll find yourself fighting against God. And I just love that, the reality that what is happening in and through our lives corporately and individually is a work of God. And one of my favorite passages of scripture is in Philippians chapter 2, where we're reminded that God works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. So he's at work in us to do what is pleasing to him. He is making us pleasing to him. We all recognize that in our own strength, that if we try to make ourselves pleasing to God, it's completely futile. But God works in us to will and to do what is pleasing to him. Amen. And so it's awesome to look and see what is happening through the church. For many years, we, as the leadership of the church, have praised the willingness of this body to commit to the work of the Lord, to give to the work of this church and through this church. And it's very true that never has there been a need that's been presented to this church that has gone unmet. And as I said, I'm privileged to see tangibly what that looks like. So as we close 2012, one of the things that we wanted to do was to be able to share with you, the body of Cross Connection Escondido, some of the things that the Lord is doing through this church and just how you are impacting the community locally and the world to the ends of the earth. And so that's why when you came in today, you were given this little brochure here that says reflect. And yes, I know it's not a printing error that it's backwards. I'll explain as we go through today. But 2012 was a great year. And as I stood before the church at this pulpit on January 1st of 2012, and I shared with the body that our leadership, we were anticipating great things in 2012. We were looking forward to God doing wonderful things through our church. And, you know, just as God's word says, he does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul there says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to his power at work in us. So as he is working in us, he does things that blow our minds. And as you go, as you are going in accordance with what he commissioned us to do, Matthew 28, go into all the world, as we, the body of Christ, go under the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to see him work in miraculous and awesome ways. And that doesn't just mean going out on a short-term trip to Africa or to China. That also means you, when you wake up on a Monday morning and you ask God, God, be with me today as I go to work or as I go to school. Give me the ability to see as you see. Give me the opportunity to be your hands reaching out. You will see, if you start your day in that way and you ask God to move in that way in your life, you will see him move in tangible ways. You will see him move in miraculous ways. God routinely accomplishes infinitely more than we might ask or think of him by his mighty power at work in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us day to day. And sometimes we fail to recognize that. Sometimes we kind of just disregard it and say, I can handle this. Like a little kid who's learning how to ride a bike and you took the training wheels off and the little kid says, I can handle this. And then you see how well they handle this and they got skinned up knees and face. Anybody remember experiencing that as a little kid? Yeah. And we do that in our walk with the Lord. God wants to work in and through us. And yet so many times we say, I got this. And God's so gracious that, all right, I'll let you handle this. Let's see how well you handle this. And how many of you have experienced God having to fix your fixes you got yourself into?
Amen.
A few, definitely. So aside from many other great things, the missionary to India, William Carey, was known for saying, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And as we went into 2012, we were expecting great things and seeking to attempt great things for the Lord. And we've seen God meet us every single time. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, the nation of Israel was confronted with a spiritual battle that was manifesting in a very physical war that was facing them. And the king of the nation during that time, he's tempted to rely on allies, earthly means to fight this battle. And a prophet comes to him, Hanani, I believe, and he says, listen, you need to trust in the Lord in this endeavor. And the king is split between trusting in the Lord and seeing God move powerfully or trusting in his own resources and in his own allies here on the earth. And we all know that it's very tempting for us to side with kind of an earthly turn when we're confronted with difficulties. And the king, he chooses unwisely, and he chooses to trust in man instead of God. And so the prophet tells him this in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself mighty on behalf of those whose hearts are whole or loyal to him, that they've completely put everything in that basket in the Lord. They say, we're trusting solely in you, God, and we're not going to trust in any earthly thing. He says, God's looking for people, and he will show himself mighty on their behalf. And then he says, in this you have done foolishly, O king. Therefore, from now on, you're going to have war. He says, you didn't trust God. And so in that, we have a great promise, but a great exhortation. A great promise that God is looking to show himself mighty on behalf of those who will say, you know what, I'm just going to put my trust completely in the Lord. And the exhortation that if you don't, he's going to allow you to trust in whatever you put your trust in. Because again, he's gracious. And so we saw the Lord work mightily in 2012. And some of the information in this brochure, if you open it up, you can see there on the inside on the left, under the numbers for 2012, you can see how the Lord provided through this church, through your weekly giving, and through the commitments made by this body towards missions and outreach and all the different things that are happening. This body gave $1.35 million to the work here through this church this last year. Now, that's awesome when you consider that we're not a huge church. We're a pretty good-sized church when you consider churches just in general size, but the reality of how this church is such a giving church. $1.35 million was given. $964,000 of that was given to general fund, just week in and week out through the offerings that are received here at the church. And then nearly $400,000 was given above and beyond that to designated outreach, to missions and to benevolence and all kinds of different things that were happening, events through the church. And that is a full 12% increase over 2011. Now, I want you to grasp the reality of that increase, because I have a lot of friends who are senior pastors of other churches, and we recognize that from 2008 until now, we've been in the midst of one of the most difficult economic downturns that our nation has seen in a generation. And so I know a lot of different pastors that their budgets over the last several years have been 10, 20, 30% down. Their giving has been down in a big way. And every single year since 2008, we've seen the Lord provide more and more through your giving every single week. And it's phenomenal. It blows our minds when we look at it as the board, the elder board gets together, and we look at the finances when we have our meetings, and you just see how the Lord is providing. And there really is... in one sense, a way in which our jaws kind of hit the ground. But then we realize our God is an awesome God. And he is the one who provides for our needs. And, you know, in my house with my wife, we kind of have a saying when we come up against those unexpected things that happen. I was over at Pastor Josh's house last night for dinner, and he had an unexpected event. Their water heater started like spewing water all over the ground. You know those unexpected events. How many of you have had one of those this last year? You know, when we confront those in my family, you know, sometimes either Andrea will say it to me or I'll say it to her. I say, well, our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he needs to take one to auction. Yeah. So, you know, the scriptures say he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The take one to auction, we added that part. But we've seen God provide in just awesome ways. And that's through the commitment of this body to be invested in the work of the Lord, to be invested in the kingdom of God. And it's having an impact. It's having an impact here locally in Escondido, San Marcos, and the surrounding areas, but it's having an impact to the ends of the earth. And so you can see some of the things that are happening here at the church and what's there. You know, this church, above and beyond what was given in general fund and designated giving to missions and outreach, there was also 160 gifts that were sent to children throughout the world through Samaritan's Purse when we did the Operation Christmas Child just before Christmas. And then the body here gave another 180 gifts to the nursing home residents through our Angel Tree outreach. And then you helped the youth ministry purchase a motorcycle, an outreach motorcycle for the ministry in Africa, Cross Connection Outreach. And then on top of that, you donated a ton of stuff for the rummage sale. Some of you are saying, well, that was actually a blessing to us because we got our garage cleared out. I know that was for us. We were able to park our cars in our garage again for the rummage sale. But everything that was given for the rummage sale here at the church and everything that was sold was ultimately put towards missions. And so we just see the Lord provide in that way. And then this church, not only in giving financially, but in serving. You may not know this. You probably don't know this because I don't think we shared it. But at the end of 2011, our missions board, we made a decision because we had some opening doors that were happening that Corey DeAnda, one of the ladies in our church, was kind of knocking on to begin an ESL program at Rose Elementary School. And they needed, you know, an initial amount of money of about $10,000 to get it started so that they could purchase the software, the Rosetta Stone software. And so we had a meeting and we had excess money in our missions account. So we said, all right, we're just going to earmark that for Rosetta Stone, for ESL at Rose Elementary School. And then Corey, she sought help from other churches in the area to see if anybody else wanted to get involved in developing this ministry to reach out to the Hispanic community. And unfortunately, no other churches were able to get involved. And I think Corey was a little bummed for a little while because she's going, well, is it going to happen? And then we said, well, we've set aside the money. So the money was there. And, you know, you don't realize the impact because the principal at Rose Elementary School with tears in her eyes is looking at what has happened through this church and helping her school be able to reach out to the community. It's phenomenal. And so not only did the church give the money, but we have people here who you've been giving your time week in and week out serving. Many of the people on the worship team, they serve in training the Hispanic community at Rose Elementary School, the parents of the kids. This is the parents of kids at the school so that they could learn English and have a better step into our culture here to be able to interact. And so every single week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, both in the morning and the night, we've got a group of people who are teaching English over at Rose Elementary School through the ESL program that you brought together through what you've given. So it's an awesome thing to see, and we want to see that just continue to expand. You continued to outreach every single week to nine different nursing homes in Escondido. On top of the gifts that are given for the Angel Tree outreach, every single week we have Bible studies in nursing homes, nine of them here in Escondido, that a group of very dedicated servants in our church, they prepare for, they go, they lead worship, they teach Bible studies, they minister to the residents in the nursing homes. And this has been happening for years, just an outreach, a simple outreach of our body to the community. The church here continued to support Shane Nelson as he was serving in China this last year. You may remember that he went on a short-term mission trip that ended up being a longer-term mission trip because he decided to stay in China to teach English. An amazing thing that we don't realize is just the ability that you have by just growing up in this nation to speak English affords you opportunity in missions both locally and worldwide. You can go and teach English in other countries, and there are many other countries saying, come, teach English. And it's like the perfect open door for you to step through and to be able to share what you just know because you grew up here, and it gives you an opportunity to build relationships and connection and to share Christ with people. It's such a beautiful thing that God has given us the opportunity to do. And so Shane is still there in China serving the Lord. He's going to Bible college in China right now and has a real heart for work there. And then also this last year, the church sent Anna Kohler to Israel to serve with Shavet Akim. And then remember we prayed last week for Josh Wise, who's been serving up at Vancouver, the Crossroads Community Church in Vancouver. About 2 weeks after he got to Vancouver, he calls me and he says, listen, they've asked me to go to Africa with them, but I don't have any money to go to Africa. And is there any way that the church could help? And I had told him before he left, let us know if there's anything that opens up. And so I said, well, let me talk to Kelly. And I talked to Kelly. She says, yeah, we have the money. So the church sent the couple grand up to up to Crossroads so that Josh could go to Africa and serve there with the church. And, you know, God just impacting his heart, but impacting people through Josh there. And then we sent an additional team to China this last year and some other ministry overseas. We started a homework club outreach at the Crossings, which is a low-income housing complex here in Escondido that Jeff Jackson's been interacting with one of the community directors for this, actually a community organizer, no lie. This Down there on Mission, just a little bit west of Mission Middle School, is the Crossings. If you've never seen it, you should go take a look at it. It's a beautiful place that has been built there. The company that built this, it's a Christian-owned company, and they build these housing complexes for low-income families, and then they have a community overseer, community director for all the 14 different places that they have in Southern California. There's only one down here in San Diego County. It's right here in Escondido. The others are up in Riverside. And they have this guy who's the community director for it. He's a Christian. And this company wants to bring church-centered outreach to this low-income complex. And so our church is connected with Cesar, who's the guy who is the community director, and now we have a group of people from our young adults ministry that are doing an after-school homework club on Tuesday afternoons to help the kids that are there to get a little bit better in school. And the parents are just so blessed by this. And so awesome thing that God's doing there at the Crossings. And then we had our Vacation Bible School this last summer, 160 kids over the 2 weeks with Vacation Bible School. We had just about 1,500 people that were here for our harvest celebration. How many of you guys served and handed out tons of candy? How many of you contributed candy and candle barrel? God bless you. I gained 5 pounds from just residual candy. So it was the great start to the holidays here at the church. No, but awesome to see this place just packed with people during the harvest celebration. And the harvest celebration has been going on for how many years now? 31st year. So incredible to see what God does through that. We hosted here at the church, through a connection within our body, a life skills conference here at the church. Two of them, actually, this last year. One in April and one in October. And this was for girls in our community, high school girls who they're single moms in high school. And so there's a group that puts on this life skills conference. And so this last year we hosted it twice here at the church, had well over 100 girls here who they're all in that situation, teenagers, they have a baby, and just reaching out and ministering to them here at the church. We held in October of this last year a church planting conference. One of the neat doors that God has opened to us is that I've been asked to be on the board of a ministry called the Calvary Church Planting Network. And part of this ministry is a vision to see 500 healthy Calvary Chapel church plants over the next 5 years. And already since October, we now have over 100, 102 as of yesterday, potential church planters nationwide who are being mentored by 60 church planting mentors. These are guys who are pastors within the Calvary Chapel movement, and they are actively mentoring guys who are getting ready to plant churches. And one of the guys I'm mentoring, he's actually started coming to the church here. I don't know if he's here this morning, but he and his wife, they live up in Temecula, and they're preparing and they're praying about planting in Connecticut. And not far from Newtown, Connecticut, they're going to be planting a church there. And so he's one of the 102 church planters that are preparing to go out and plant churches, not just in America, but overseas. It's just an awesome thing to see. So we hosted up at Twin Peaks a church planting conference back in October. We had over 100 different people come to this, and just really excited. Pastor Brian Broderson from Calvary Costa Mesa, Pastor David Guzik from Calvary Chapel Santa Barbara, they spoke at it, a number of other people. And so just an awesome thing to see what God is doing. I'm flying out next Sunday night to Florida to a conference out there with the Calvary Church Planting Network, and I've got a whole bunch of meetings scheduled. And so it's just awesome to see what God is doing, because Calvary Chapel during the 80s and the 90s was seeing huge exponential growth in church planting. They were planting at like a 50% rate. So every year there were 50% more Calvary Chapels planted for a number of years. And since about 2000, that's actually gone down. Although there are nearly 1,500 Calvary Chapels nationwide, you would expect there to be exponential increase of church planting, and yet that's gone down. And with the amount of churches that are closing their doors annually, there are 3,000 churches in America that close their doors, Protestant churches, every single year. Now there are 300,000 churches in America, and there are more churches being planted every year than are closing their doors. But for one reason or another, 3,000 churches a year close their doors. And this is not Calvary Chapels. This is just the church in general, the Protestant church in America. And there's a group, it may have been Barna Research, they determined that by 2050, for there to be enough churches to actively reach out to this nation because of population growth and the amount of churches that are closing their doors, there needs to be 70,000 new churches planted between now and 2050. It's hard to even wrap your mind around that. That's just in America. 70,000 new church plants. And so there's a commitment within Calvary Chapel, and we're a part of the Calvary Chapel movement, to see more churches planted. And so we're actively a part of that. And then Calvary Admin Services, the ministry that Pastor Richard is launching and launching out to do, that's a key part of it too. And he's already having contacts. People call him and say, we need help with administrative things. So this church has been involved with that. We had our Easter outreach at the Center for the Arts, and there's about 1,200 people that came out to that this last Easter. And then our Christmas outreach, and we got together, not just our church, but five other churches in our community to reach out, and had over 1,200 people there for that. So just a blessing to see what's happening. Now, because we don't talk about it very often, you may not know that Cross Connection Escondido has a school. We don't have an on-site school. There was a time where we had in K through 8 co-op school here at the church, but we haven't done that for almost 10 years. But it was about 2.5, 3 years ago that Jared Beck, one of the guys who's a part of our church who leads worship occasionally with his wife, he came and talked with our board and shared about the opportunity to develop an online Christian high school. And this is a full private school. And we can reach students anywhere in the world because it's all online. And as of now, we have about 75 full-time students that are a part of our Calvary Online High School. And it's just continuing to grow. We have 4, I believe, teachers who meet with their students in an online environment, one for an hour a week. They go through their curriculum. It's just an incredible thing that God is doing. And this is the next step in education. I was just having a meeting with a couple of guys this last Friday, and I was sharing with them about the school a little bit, which is WASC accredited. If you know anything about schools, an accreditation is very, very important. And WASC is one of the biggest accreditation agencies in the world when it comes to accrediting schools. Most private Christian schools do not have a WASC accreditation. And yet Jared, you know, God has just given him the ability and the mind to be able to put all this stuff together. And with only like 15 students and a year of history, he was able to get our school accredited with WASC, which is phenomenal. It's a miracle. I told a couple of guys, and they're in education. They work with Azusa Pacific. And they said, that's just not possible to get WASC accreditation after a year. I said, our God's an awesome God. I don't know what to tell you. And that's what he's done. And so the school continues to grow. And we just anticipate huge growth with the school. One of our teachers is one of our members of the church here. Jeannie Richardson is one of the teachers with the online school. And if you know her, you can ask her about it. She can tell you a little bit more about the program. But it's just amazing to see what God is doing through our church. And that's just the start. We believe that God has even greater things for us. Week in and week out, this church is impacting the world. And it's impacting our community locally. Now, one of the neat things about the school, the online school, is that several of our students, their parents are missionaries on the field. And so we have a special tuition rate for missionaries for their kids. Because one of the reasons that missionaries sometimes come back off the field is that oftentimes they will homeschool their kids, but by the time they get to high school, when they get to secondary education, it's a lot harder for them to homeschool their kids. And so they recognize that, well, this is something we want to make sure that our kids are getting a good education and they can get into a school back in the States. They can get into a college when they graduate. And so we have students in New Zealand and in Brazil. Their parents are missionaries. One of our first graduates, we had a couple of graduates 2 years ago, and she herself was a missionary with the underground church in China, and she had to finish her high school career, if you will. And so while she's finishing high school through Calvary Online School, she was working with an underground church in China. It's just awesome to see what you can do now just because of technology. And so you're involved in that, and what that has to do with is just, this is a group of people, this church, that God sees your hearts are committed to Him, loyal to Him. And as a result, He's showing Himself mighty on our behalf. And He has much more prepared for us as a body. It's exciting. So at the beginning of every year for the last 4 or 5 years, I've shared with you just some words of vision for us as a church as we step into the new year. If you were here in 2009, you may remember that those words were simplify and focus. And so one of the things that we started doing in 2009 to help us as a church simplify and focus because we recognize we're the only nation in the world that has a TV show called Hoarders. You ever watch that show? It's freaky. So we recognize we just collect stuff. And so what we did is we got a huge dumpster, and 2009 was the first year that we did this, put it up at the top of the parking lot, just told the church, you have stuff, you got a week, you can chuck it. And so we emptied that thing probably 5 or 6 times. Big, how many cubic feet? 40 cubic foot, cubic yard container. The thing was huge. And it was emptied like 5 or 6 times. And so every year since then, we've made that opportunity and we've had the rummage sale right at the same time to help people simplify. And the whole reason of simplifying is so that we can focus, so that we can be doing better what it is that God has called us to. And then in 2010, out of Micah chapter 2, verse 10, there's a verse there that says, arise and go, for this is no place to rest, or this is not your rest. And so we were reminded in 2010 that this place is not our eternal home. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that this is not our eternal home. I'm looking forward to the place that God has been working on for a couple thousand years. This took 7 days. It's pretty nice. Been working on the other place for a couple thousand years. I'm assuming he said, I go to prepare a place for you. So looking forward to seeing that. So this isn't our eternal home. So arise and go, for this is not your place of rest. The idea behind that is that we are sojourners. When you put your faith in Christ Jesus, you become a dual citizen, a citizen of heaven and a citizen of earth. And in reality, your citizenship is more firmly fixed in heaven than here, and you're just an ambassador here, just a sojourner passing through. And so we need to make sure that we're not trying to set down our roots and our foundation here, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we need to recognize that God wants us to be a people who are on mission, on the move for the kingdom of God. As Eric says, Oscar Mike, which is, you know, military term for on the move, on mission. And so we want to be a church that's dedicated to that. But in the process, in 2011, we talked about loving God and loving one another. The great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we recognize that we want to be committed to doing what God has commanded us to do. So as we are on mission, fulfilling the great commission to go, we also want to be fulfilling that great commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. That means with all of our being, we want to love him and follow him, and then loving one another, because they shall know, Jesus said, that you are my disciples by what? The love that you have one for another. They're going to know that you are truly followers of Jesus when they see in us a love for one another. And then this last year, 2012, we started the year talking about enjoying God's grace and extending his glory. We who have received the grace of God in abundance, it's not that we've just kind of tasted a little taste, like when you go to Baskin Robbins and they give you that dinky little pink spoon, like here's a sample. And they know first one's free and then you'll have all 31, you know. So we don't just get a little pink spoon of God's grace. We get it in full measure. Hard pressed, overflowing the grace of God. So we who've experienced God's grace are then to extend his glory. And then following right on that, for this year, the word that just continued to be in my heart as we step into this year was the word reflect. Reflect. Now, if you look up the word reflect in a dictionary, you're going to find there's several definitions. One of the definitions for reflect is to look back on or to consider things of the past, to behold what has happened. And in a sense, we're kind of doing that right now, considering some of the things that God has done in 2012. But the reality is the second definition for reflect is the one that I think is more important. And that is the idea of displaying or showing forth or casting back light upon something. And so on the front of this, this is backwards, because this is what it would look like if you looked in a mirror. And if you look in a mirror and hold this, you'll see it the right way. You'll be able to read it correctly. So the idea is that we are reflecting. We're reflecting the glory of the Lord, both to him and to this world. When we read in the prophetic works that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, the idea is that God wants to glorify himself in his people and they will cover the earth. And that's how God is going to glorify himself in all the earth. And we just sang. It's so fitting. I didn't tell Candy, sing that song. So fitting that she finished with that song, glorify your name in all the earth. Lord, glorify yourself in us. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to shine upon our lives so that he can shine through our lives to other people. Remember Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." And so God wants to glorify himself in us. And the idea for reflect comes from the verse that's on the inside cover of here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So ultimately, this is a work that God does in us by his Spirit. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 3. We read verses 7 through 18 when we began today. And in those verses, Paul, he contrasts the glory of the first covenant with the glory of the second. Now, don't misunderstand. The first covenant was glorious. When God met with Israel at Mount Sinai and Moses went up on the mountain as the cloud of God's glory covered, and really, I believe that cloud was more to contain the glory of God, not to display the glory of God. It was like a veil shrouding his glory. And Moses went up on the hill, he went into the cloud, and he appeared before the presence of the Lord. One of those passages there talk about him going into that thick darkness that surrounds the Lord. So there is Moses, and he is with God in the book of Exodus on Mount Sinai. Children of Israel down below. And God is revealing his character, his nature, his will. He's revealing his law. He's giving his law to Moses over a 40-day period. He gives him the tablets of stone. This is glorious. This is awesome. God is meeting with man, seeking to tabernacle in his midst. No one could say that's not glorious. That is glory. Amen. It was so glorious that, well, at a certain point in Exodus chapter 33, Moses is just enraptured by this, and he says, "God, show me your glory," as if that had not been enough. "Show me your glory." But in reality, he had not seen it fully. And the Lord tells him, "You cannot see me face to face because no man can see me and live. I'm so glorious that my glory in your presence, you would just be obliterated." That's awesome. That's right. And so God says, "But I'm going to make a provision. I do want you to see something of my glory." And so in Exodus 34, God places him in the cleft of the rock. We're not entirely sure what that means. A lot of speculation about what that means. But God says, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pass by you. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to cover you. And then I'm going to allow you to see my afterglow presence." The King James Version says his hind parts. That's not what you might think. So God says, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shroud you so you can't see my full glory. I'm going to put a veil between you and me. And I'm going to come and stand in your presence. And then I'm going to leave. And when I leave, there's going to be my glory, my residual glory still there. The afterglow presence of God is still there. And then you can see that." So God does that in Exodus 34. Here's what happens. Moses sees the presence, the glory, the afterglow presence of God. He goes down the mountain and he is physically changed by that. His face is now shining like he's been radiated, kind of like John Boehner's face after a spray tan. So, you know, that's a bad illustration, I know. So he goes down the mountain and he doesn't realize he's been changed by being in the presence of God's glory, and now he's glowing. And the children of Israel are kind of freaked out by this. They don't want to come close to him. They're fearful about what happened to Moses. And so in this passage in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says that Moses, to hide that, he veils his face. And there is a veil even between that residual glory of God and the people. But that's obviously not how God intended. That's not what God wants, is that the world would not see his glory. He wants to show his glory, because he's worthy of being glorified. Amen. And so that's the old covenant. The old covenant can only show us the veil of glory and God's glory. Knowing, okay, we trust it's there. God's glory is there. But there's a veil separating. And that glory upon Moses' face, it was a fading glory. Over time, that started to go away. It wasn't there any longer. And then Paul seems to imply that there was even some sort of pride issue in Moses' heart where he didn't want the people of Israel to see that that glory had gone away. So for a time, he didn't reveal that he didn't remove that veil so they'd see that it was a fading glory. And then he tells us about the surpassing glory that comes in the second covenant, the new covenant. The new covenant of the gospel, there is surpassing glory. He says, nevertheless, when, verse 16, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So in Christ, there's no veil. Under the old covenant, there's a covering, and that glory is always covered. But under the new covenant, we all of us, not just one guy up on the mountaintop, but all of us within the body of Christ, with unveiled face, we are able to behold the reflection of God's glory. We're able to see how glorious he is. And in seeing, in beholding, just as Moses was transformed by seeing and beholding the glory of God, we're in the midst of this process of being transformed into the same image. What image? The image of his glory. God is transforming us to be reflections of his glory. Amen. He wants us to reflect his glory. And this is not a fading glory, because he says it's from glory to glory. And this is by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not by something we do, not by our works of righteousness, but it's something that God does in us and through us. As we merely come and behold him in his word and in worship, we come before his presence with thanksgiving. And as we do, God is transforming us more and more into the same image. And this is something God purposed to do in every single one of you. We're going to see this in Romans as we study through Romans. God purposed in every single one of you who believe that this would take place. We know this because that's what his word says. Romans 8:29, for whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God purposed before the foundation of the world that you would be conformed into his image and reflect his glory. So in doing that, you're fulfilling God's purpose. In Romans 12, we read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed into this world. See, the world wants to conform you into a different image. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove, that you may show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so all of us who are Christians, we have no veils on our faces, but we reflect like mirrors the glory of the Lord. We are transfigured, we are transformed by the Spirit of the Lord in ever-increasing splendor, says the Phillips New Testament, into his own image. So God wants to imprint upon us his image to show it to this world, that we'd reflect it to this world. It's an awesome thing that God wants to do. D.L. Moody this quote is attributed to him. It's in the brochure. The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated or dedicated to him. And he said, by God's help, I aim to be that man. Amen. By God's grace, we desire to be what he desires us to be. This is why Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. He has saved me for this purpose. I want to fulfill that purpose. Amen? Amen. And so in your brochure on the right-hand side where it says Info 2013, you'll see some of the goals, some of the things that we want to do in 2013. And this is just some of it. This is not all of it. We have a proposed budget for 2013 that is 6% above our budget for last year. And we're trusting God for that. We just say, Lord, it's in your hands. We don't know what you're going to do, but it's in your hands. You want to do more than that? Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think? This is what we're asking for, and we pray you do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, because it enables us to reach out more into our community. We're launching Calvary Admin Services. We're continuing to grow our Connect groups this year. We're going to really be working on that. We want to extend the ESL program, not just at Rose Elementary. And let me just say, we could really use some help. If you're interested in helping, especially during the night on Tuesday or Thursday, we could really use your help with some new volunteers for the ESL program at Rose Elementary School. All you have to do, you may say, well, I don't even speak English very well. That's okay. All you have to do is sit down at a computer terminal with a non-English speaker as their first language, and you're going to help them read through the stuff on Rosetta Stone. When they come to a word they don't understand or they can't read, you're just going to help them read it. You're going to help them sound it out. You're going to help them converse and talk. And so that's all you do. It's not hard. It's no brainer. And so if you're available Tuesday or Thursday night and you'd like to be a part of the ESL training program, go into the office after the service today and let Karen or one of the people in the office know. They'll put your name down on the list, and Corey will get a hold of you. So we want to grow that. We're going to continue to be working on our community chaplaincy, and we want to extend a chaplain program to the nursing homes in Escondido. There are over 100 nursing homes in Escondido, and that's not to mention what we have in San Marcos and Rancho Bernardo and the other areas around us. There's nursing homes all over the place. And we're ministering every single week in 9 of them, but what we'd like to do is to raise up chaplains who can minister in 2 or 3 or 4 of them during the month. They just go one day a week, and they just step in there and visit for a little while, and make themselves available to the residents and to the people who are running it. We're going to be launching a new ministry called Nexus, which is basically going to be our young adults ministry, and we have some great things that we have planned for that. We want to continue to develop our rewirement ministry. The idea behind rewirement is don't just retire. Don't just retire and check out. God has work for you to do. If you're at that stage of life where you're stepping into retirement and out of your career, you have time, you have training, you have experience, you have the ability to impact the kingdom of God like no other generation. Amen. Let me tell you, the greatest potential for ministry in the next 25 years is retiring baby boomers. I guarantee it. And I don't think the church in general has recognized this yet. But it's the greatest potential for ministry. And that's what rewirement is all about. We're going to be recording the Palawan New Testament with Cross Connection Outreach. We're doing this next month. Terry Moody, I saw you. Terry Moody, raise your hand. Terry's going out with Luke and Kristen Ryder to the Philippines, and he's going to be working on the recording of the Palawan New Testament. Bill and Donna Davis are missionaries that we've been connected with. They have translated the New Testament into this language, and we're recording it for audio scriptures, and those are going to be distributed perhaps sometime this summer. But the recording is coming up here just next month. So we want to expand our community outreach, including the crossings and other locations, expanding our Calvary Online School, and much, much more. And then we have a lot of missions opportunities coming this year. Obviously, we go to Tecate about every 6 weeks. Dave, raise your hand, Dave. Dave Bossi runs the ministry down in Tecate, and he would love to have you come along. Sometimes he just goes down on a Thursday afternoon. Pardon me. To prepare dinner for the kids at the orphanage at Rancho San Juan Bosco. Just an awesome opportunity to drive down there and serve. But then we have groups that will go down about every 6 weeks. We're going to be going to Belize, Mozambique, the Philippines, China, and Israel. And we'll show something about that in a minute. But in just a few weeks, in fact, I believe this next week for Kristen, we have 2 people who are part of our church, grew up in our church, part of our youth ministry, that are preparing to go out on the mission field. Kari-Ann Richardson is going to be going to China to teach English. And then Kristen Lane is going to be going to India. So we want to have both of them come up. Come up here, you two. We're going to pray for them. And as we have been doing, if you want to come up and gather around them and pray with us, lay hands on them. The youth ministry's in here today. And so if you from the youth ministry, these are your friends, come up. Let's pray for them. This is Kristen Lane, Kari-Ann Richardson. Kari's going to China. Kristen's going to India to serve the Lord. Father, we thank you for the way you are extending our influence as a church and how you are raising up people within our body to step out into territories unknown, to step out into works that you've called them for, and to do things that you have prepared before the foundation of the world. Your word says that we're saved by grace and not by works, but you've prepared good works that we should walk in them. And so we pray for Kari. We pray for Kristen. We ask, Lord, that as they step out into this, just the initial steps of the life that you've prepared for them in serving you and shining your light, we ask, God, that you would pour out your spirit upon them, that you'd protect them. We pray, God, that you'd be with their families back here in the States that are going to be missing them. But we ask, God, that you would make them effective for your kingdom, that you would use them in ways that blow their minds, and that they would see your hand mightily working with and in and through them. Lord, help them to not be fearful, to be anxious, but Lord, to be able to put their trust in you and to bring every thought captive to the obedience of your Son. We pray, God, that you would enable them with power that they can't even understand because it's just purely from you. And as they see that they're not sufficient of themselves, that they would find their sufficiency in you. So God, equip them beyond what they feel they're able to do. give them wisdom beyond their years and the ability to shine your light wherever you would carry them. And Lord, when they come back to us, would they come with joy filled their hearts, and that they would rejoice in the good things that you have done. So pour out your Spirit upon them. We commit them into your care, trusting that you will keep that which we committed unto you until that day. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.